For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Olin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing good. I had a good laugh on the way home. I thought about Simon and Garfunkel and I played Sound of Silence, Hello Darkness, My Old Friend, after that game and that post-game show. And it seems like with the Chicago Bears lately, this has been their story, right? There's games like this. You're always wondering, is it the right coach? Is it the right OC for this young quarterback? And you know, that after that Hail Mary, you worried about there being a hangover in Arizona. And, you know, just going over the film a little bit this morning, guys, there sure was, you know, there were drop balls. They're the same thing on offense, right? The penalties, the plays were there to be made. There were drop balls. They didn't catch the ball. I think they thought they had a big advantage at wide receiver. And if they spread them out and took advantage of their secondary, but they just never really did it. They just never really got it going, whether it's a quarterback, the offensive line. The good thing about this film that I just watched, they can all point their thumb at themselves because no one really made a play. No one really played really good football. You can't point to anybody and say, man, well, at least they did this well. Nobody did that yesterday along with the coaching staff. So now they're all in the boat together and they all got a role.
It's so familiar. It's so on brand. It's so Bears. And that's the frustrating part of it, as you say, Olin. And in this week, after two straight losses, with a winnable game against the Patriots, I think it's still a winnable game, everyone will be clamoring for change outside of Hallis Hall. How will they respond to this crisis inside Hallis Hall? Do you expect any changes in terms of personnel, which are limited because of injuries, or coaching responsibilities because of what you created for yourself?
Yeah, it's a good question after what we watched. And I think that you try to take a step back and look at, you know, after that Hail Mary, everything, you know, the world seemed that it was coming to an end. But they're 4-4, which, you know, I had them over at about 500 or just over 500 this year. I thought the young quarterback said something really good after the game. I thought when he mentioned that they got to move on faster next time after a loss. And we talked about at the post-game show yesterday, I thought their leaders failed them last week. I thought that, you know, from the outside looking in, that was a horrible loss to Washington. That was a horrible way to lose a game. Those kind of things sting. And to keep talking about it, if you're a leader on that team, to keep talking about it and not just circle the wagon and say, look, we all got to do better. We all got to move on. I thought that was a mistake. But I know when I said leaders, obviously their leaders failed them in the game by their coaching staff, but everybody did. Right after the game, their leaders, their leadership committee talked about it too much. And I thought the young quarterback saying, look, we got to move on. We got to move on faster. We got to get to the next game. We got to make that hurt for 12 to 24 hours, and then we got to get going again. So I thought that was a good point by him. I think they stay a status quo versus the Patriots, David. I don't think they make the change, but I think that they're talking about it, right? I think that now with the direction their offense is going in, and man, what an indictment if you got to move on from your offensive coordinator or you know, whatever you have to do with your offense this early in you know, in the hiring in the season. We're only halfway through. I don't think they want to panic like that with a young quarterback and create more chaos around him with a new play caller and just kind of what does Shane Waldron do every day in the building then?
I wonder, Olin, when you see Darnell Wright is believed to have suffered an MCL sprain based on the initial tests, and he's going to have an MRI today, how much does that damage an already damaged unit on the offensive line?
Well, we talked about it coming into the season that it was a group you worried about. Right now with Braxton Jones out, Karan Amagaji out, Darnell Wright, hopefully I've had a few MCLs. Took me about, you know, 3 to 4 to 6 weeks to get back. Just depends on the severity of the injury, right, and what they find there on the MRI. So Darnell Wright, their best offensive lineman, he's had some up and downs this year, but still their best offensive lineman. Losing him would really hurt, Molly. It would really hurt them. They were scrambling for bodies anyway, putting Larry Borum up yesterday, you know, trying to find, you know, I think it was Jake Curran who came in to play. So what do they do there What do they do at that position? We know that Pryor to start the year was their swing tackle. We know that Bates to start the year was their starting center. So, you know, they're on to Shelton now. And then, you know, Tevin Jenkins, can he stay healthy? Can we get Braxton Jones back? And it's just it's not a good situation with a young quarterback and an offense that's struggling to find any rhythm early in the game. So what do they do? Do they go? The Vikings just picked up the only guy available and put him at left tackle, yeah. Right? And they took a guy here from the Jaguars.
Cam Robinson.
It's Cam Robinson. And it's just been, you know, can you look around and find teams that aren't doing well? I know we mentioned Zach Martin yesterday for the Cowboys, since the Cowboys are struggling, but that's kind of a pipe dream, right? It's a Hall of Fame right guard still playing at a high level, and he'd give you the leadership that you're looking for. But, yeah, I mean, you got to think outside the box at some point, right, and get guys in here who can help your offense get moving in the right direction and give your quarterback, you know, make him comfortable taking that snap, standing in the pocket, and delivering the pass.
I think it's tough after a game like that because all the questions and all the topics, it sound like you want some sort of punitive result, and you wonder, like, what's going to happen next. But if it help us, you've been in these buildings, you've been in these meetings, mm-hmm. Olin. Mm-hmm. If you're Ryan Poles and you see your franchise quarterback on the field in the final 2 minutes of a game that is not winnable, and his presence there behind a backup right tackle and a makeshift offensive line, how does that conversation go? And what possibly could Matt Eberflus been referring to when he said he needs the reps and the defense was still on the field too? How do you justify that?
Mm-hmm. I don't know, to be honest with you. We were all watching and thinking, run the ball and get off of this field with that offensive line. You got any? And he was, not only was he under pressure, you know, all game, he wasn't taking the easy stuff, right? He wasn't hitting Cole Kmet in the zone on blitzes. The Cardinals gave him a lot of looks and came from all over the place with their three safety look, and it confused. It confused their protection, and it confused Coleman Shelton at times. They were trying to slide the line, bring the running back across. They were getting good matchups on their running backs, and then they ran some games late in the game on the Borum and Tevin Jenkins side, and we talked about that those two guys really haven't worked together. That's exactly what I would do. I'd run stunts. They call them stunts where, you know, somebody tries to pick somebody and then wrap under. It's hard to explain on the radio, but that's hard for linemen that haven't worked together, haven't been on the field together. And you could see that going on. You see that the game, is out of control. You see the guy at offensive tackle in there that probably just showed up, doesn't know everybody's name, right? You don't know his name. We don't know his name. It doesn't make any sense, David. So, like you're saying, if you're Ryan Poles, I'm sure they do it, but it's the time to get in a room, turn on the film, talk to Shane Waldron about what's going on with the offense. They need some leadership in that building from the top down. You know, even it seems like the head coach, some of his answers right now are a little strange to me. Molly mentioned yesterday, he's taking the blame for a salami sandwich in the back of having bad breath, and that's me. And, you know, just kind of like everything's my fault all of a sudden, right, which isn't true also. You know, like the touchdown at the end of the half. Or just think about that, you know, that the football team in that at the end of the half there against the Cardinals, right? Keenan Allen drops the ball. If he catches that ball, we get a field goal. We're off the field. Time is run out. He drops the ball. They kick it off. They go to just run the clock out, right? And you got T.J. Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, and Johnson all standing there. The guy just runs right by all of them. Or someone's got to get off a block, get him on the ground, and get to halftime. And then all of a sudden, Coach Flews is telling us that that was his fault. It was some sort of pass blitz, I guess. I don't know what he said, but yeah. They didn't execute it well. The end didn't come underneath, and it's just like if you're talking about David looking for answers. If you're Ryan Poles, you're looking for answers for all of that, right? Why is my quarterback on the field? I'm sure you got answers on the Hail Mary. Why are you taking blame all of a sudden? Like everything's my fault. You don't want a head coach that looks like he's giving interviews, standing in front of the room, who looks like he doesn't have answers and looks like he lost confidence, because he's the one now. He's the one steering this ship, and he's got to stand in front of that room, and he's got to let us know it's all going to be all right. And this is going to be all right. Let's keep doing the things that we believe in. Let's keep doing the little things. Let me show you guys film of how we got to do things better, how I have to do things better, how we all have to do things better so we play a better football game the next time we show up at Soldier Field against the Patriots.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This segment with Olin Krutz is sponsored by Fireplace and Chimney Authority. Visit online or their Elmhurst and Lyle showrooms. You know, I thought the Bears were going to have a good opportunity in this game going into it because they were allowing, I'm talking about the Cardinals, were allowing 52% conversion rate on third downs. And the Bears went 3 for 14, which is, I believe, 21.4%. How could that be as bad as it was, right? I mean, how could they not convert a third down against a team that had been just letting everyone get third downs? Third down's here, third down's there, everyone gets one. Going out of business.
Yeah, I think, honestly, Molly, when I rewatched the first three quarters this morning, I thought they had a huge advantage at the wide receiver position. They thought if they spread them out, there'd be holes all over the place in their zone. And when you look at it, it really was – that's an interesting thing. Usually you just say, well, the young quarterback was under so much duress, or the receivers didn't get open, or why didn't Cole Kmet have any targets? Right. Well, he's on the field, guys, and he's on the field and he's open, right? And he's open for some of these blitzes and some of these zones. And you could have went down the line. There were plays when a young quarterback didn't get it out. When these guys are open just to get the ball there, there were plays when they get it out, they get a first down, they get a penalty, right? Borum is not lined up. Or Keenan Allen gets a pass interference, but they convert right after that. And that's what you're talking about the Cardinals. They'll give you plays to convert, but where's the penalty? Or the young quarterback just sailing it out of bounds, right? You watch this film, and it really is all of them did not play well. They did not look like they came to Arizona. They looked like they had a hangover from that Hail Mary, just to be brutally honest. And like I tell you guys, people lie, but the film doesn't, right? Yeah. And that's why you always go to film in the morning. You take a good look at it, and you say, man, what happened there? And I think this team, collectively, they had a lot of injuries, but collectively they did not play well down there in Arizona, and the Cardinals took advantage of that. And then you get blown away, and you don't convert third downs on a bad defense who's giving you a bunch of looks, but you knew that coming into the game. They put a lot on Caleb's plate yesterday, right, with the up-tempo offense, with him checking in and out, with him making calls. I thought at some point you take that away from him, you call the play, and let them execute out there because, even the commentator showed you a couple of times when Roschon Johnson slipped out of the backfield, he's there, just give him the ball. The Cardinals are playing a deep zone off the ball, and they're covering the receivers over the top not to give up the big play.
This segment with Olin Krutz, sponsored by Busey Bank. Building business, growing wealth since 1868. So, Olin, I think you need to help us talk about this intelligently, or at least address this from your perspective, because you're a player, you're a guy who, I don't know, how long after an appendectomy were you back on the field? You were somebody that played through a lot of pain and understand the difference between pain and injury. And we don't want to talk nonsense about what Montez Sweat is going through. But Montez Sweat didn't play yesterday. He was tried out on the field. I don't think he has a sprain, strain, or pull. He's got a puncture from a cleat injury suffered against the Washington Commanders. How do we discuss whether or not he could have played or should have played, or where this goes in terms of an injury and how long he's going to be out for? How do you look at that as a former player who was a tough guy?
As a former player, I take a look at Montez Sweat's history, right? And he must be sore, man, because this guy's given you everything he's got since he's gotten here, right? And I watch him playing games, and I know there's been a few questions of why is he off the field in substitutions late in games, but the guy's got a lot of money. He flies around every time he's out there. He went out there to try to finish that game last week. That thing, whatever he's got, I don't like to speak on things that I don't know a guy's got, but if I just go off of his history, I think he couldn't have played yesterday. There's just no way. This guy is always on the field. He's always battling. He's always getting after the quarterback. He plays the run. As we saw yesterday, he plays the run as well as he plays the pass. So, if that thing had a chance of lingering on during the season, then it did the smart thing yesterday by resting him, and you'll have him through this run because we've all seen since he's arrived or since he's not on the field yesterday how important this guy is to this defense, right? We've all seen that. We're hoping for a little more out of Jervon Dexter Sr. yesterday, right? We want to see him more with Montez Sweat out. Billings, I don't know what's going to happen there, man. They lose him. That would be huge, although I think that back injury must have been bugging him a little bit. His play has come down a little bit. Defense didn't look good yesterday. But as far as injury concern with Montez Sweat, if he needed a day off, you know, when you fly to Arizona, it's a long trip. If he needed a game off for that leg, so he could finish this run here. They're about to go into we all know how tough their season is about to get. The Lions and the Packers are coming. The Lions playing good football. They got a bunch of tough games coming up. If I could get them back 100% for that run, then yesterday was a smart decision.
I wonder at what point would you, if you were running a team, consider changing the play caller? And I mean that more about Shane Waldron, and do you have other options, and how long does it take to come to a conclusion on that? But I also wonder if I don't think they'd get better if Eberflus let Eric Washington call a game, but he might be more of a head coach then. And again, I'm not trying to take a shot at him, and I know that if he gives that up, he's in danger of losing his gig, because that's what saved him a year ago. But what are your thoughts on that possibility?
Yes, as far as the offensive play caller, I just think now you've hired the wrong guy twice, right? And it's just kind of an indictment on your process, right? And you know, even that's everybody. That's from the top down there at Hallis Hall. We heard Ryan Poles talk about why Luke Getsy got fired, right? Because he wasn't imagining enough. The plays weren't creative enough. They didn't adjust enough, and that's why you brought in Shane Waldron, and you raved about him when you hired him, and now we're going to move on in week 8. And what an indictment on our process, right? Because now we're on to our third. offensive coordinator since Coach Eberflus got here. And, you know, I know there's Kerry Joseph. I know Thomas Brown has called plays in Carolina. I don't know how they feel about those guys. I know Kerry Joseph has called some plays, I think, in college. Right. I think that the easiest thing they can do is let Coach Washington call plays.
Yeah.
And Coach Eberflus can go to being the head coach. But Coach Eberflus is so good at it, right. He's so good at doing that. You know, some guys have an assistant head coach, an older head coach that comes in and helps with the head coaching part. Because I don't know, to me, when I look at this football team, and if you ask me, what is elite? Like, what is the one thing that he's elite on this football team? And before the Hail Mary, before yesterday, I would have said Coach Eberflus, right? And we saw yesterday even some play calling decisions by the Cardinals offensive coordinator. You're like, what the hell is he doing? Like calling pass plays inside the 10-yard line 100 times. So it's just kind of – I don't know if it's time for that yet. I don't want to put that kind of panic around my young quarterback. Shane Waldron installed his whole system to ask guys just to come in and call plays and change it up. You would have to believe that if you're Ryan Poles, when you met with Shane Waldron, you would have to believe that he's just lost confidence in his play calling ability, and he can't get this thing back on track. Which man, if they do that, if that comes out, if that happens, what an indictment on their process to hire an offensive coordinator. Which we know, guys, go to Hallis Hall, go all the way back to 1999, wherever you want to go back to. Hallis Hall hiring an OC has been a problem for a long time.
Olin, great stuff.
Yeah, thanks, Olin. Great stuff as always.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.